Thank you for listening to Internet Boyfriends.
She's jealous, isn't she?
No, I don't think so.
I don't push to the point of insanity. I don't think I'm ever going to prolapse.
We are really bad on staying on top. I fucking apologize to any listeners that think that we're organized in any fucking way.
The Nazis are back, and they're flying over, about to bomb fucking Toronto, duck and cover.
Krampus! Like,
yeah, like, I wish I had a better way of describing that so I didn't sound like a fucking racist. Like,
it's terrible!
As long as I get a laugh and you get a laugh, I think we've been successful, so.
If that was my grandmother, you son of a bitch! She didn't splatter like a bag of meat!
I'm telling you what I learned from television and Wikipedia.
She really likes how I say audio.
I know how the internet works.
Internet boyfriends.
Okay, alright. How the hell do I start that? I always forget how I start the episode.
I'm not any better.
I'm not expecting you to be any better.
Well, I'm just saying I don't remember how you start the show either.
I guess it's usually just, hi, welcome to our episode of Internet Boyfriends.
Because we always start with, oh, how do we start the show again? So it's like, oh, hi.
Well, hello.
Hi.
And welcome to another episode of Internet Boyfriends. Not hello to you, hello to them. Like, the listeners.
Okay, fine.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Internet Boyfriends. I'm Joey, and with me is the green arrow to my speedy, Ryan.
Hi there.
You are on the ball with the hello today. Normally there's a pause I have to cut out, but you are on it.
I try.
And I feel like it's because you knew today's. It wasn't that much of a surprise, the green arrow to my speedy.
That's true.
So, because you knew we were doing something superhero themed, yep. And you know I wanted to go with the heroin addled, possibly HIV infected.
No. Well, yeah, I guess it depends which one you're choosing. It's a flip of the coin, really.
I would choose the male speedy because I don't know.
It's less apparently fatal. You can get over heroin addiction. It's hard to get over HIV.
More along the lines of that. I'm not as pretty as the female Speedy.
Okay.
So, like I said, the Smallville version that they had on Wikipedia.
The male Speedy did beat up hobos with a cat after snorting drugs off of an iPad.
What?
Yep.
I have nothing to say to that. So, I heard you finished Batman Arkham Asylum.
I did, a little while ago now.
How did you like it?
It was awesome. To use an overused word, it really, really, someone had described it as a Batman simulator.
I believe that was me.
That's good, because it's sort of what it is. It's, you pretty much turn it on, you're like, oh, I'm now Batman for however long I'm playing. Had a fun story, never got lost or had the difficulty go too far out of control. It was a ton of fun.
People have asked me before how I review video games, and I usually say that I try to suss out what the intended purpose of the video game was. And Batman Arkham Asylum, the intended purpose of that game was to make you feel like Batman.
Yep.
And if you play that game on easy or normal difficulty, hard difficulty, you know, that's certainly for people who are much better at video games than I am. But if you play it on easy or normal difficulty, there's never going to be a point in time when you feel unlike Batman. Because you feel like it's harder. Like, there are moments where you're like, oh, I really got to... Like, I remember the only annoying part in the game was the Poison Ivy boss battle. I didn't like that. But everything else was, like, bang on, really made me feel like Batman. Yeah. Where I was like, yeah, I can be a detective or I can fight. I know all the people. Like, I mean, you know, you and me, you especially, walk up and you're like, hey, Cash, what's going on, dude? I know who you are. What happened to your hand, motherfucker? Like, it's... That's what Batman would say.
That's how I hear Batman in my head.
I'm glad that you liked it. Anything stuck out in particular that you wanted?
The boss battles were all really good. Like, I guess the Poison Ivy one was the one that I got a little frustrated at, like, but aside from that, it was a ton of fun. Like, even when you're struggling, you're like, oh, I kept getting spotted by some bad guys, or I got spotted too early and they all swarmed on me or something. I'm like, I'm still fucking Batman. I can do this.
Batman makes mistakes.
I just shoot up and then swing across some gargoyles, get away from them, and you're good.
Yeah. Exactly.
Then you return to Strike Terror. It's awesome.
You told me that you finished Arkham, and I was like, oh, we're going to talk about Arkham for Internet Boyfriends. I should go play it. And I finished the whole game. I went back and replayed it recently. So I finished it just now, like not too long ago. So
now I'm jealous.
Because I wanted to go back and replay L.A. Noire and Arkham. Because I hate L.A. Noire.
I
loathe that game.
I know. Jesus Christ.
I'm telling you, L.A. Noire is the worst video game ever made.
No,
and
it's
people
not.
Don't. It is terrible.
No, it's not. Have you not seen Kinect Star Wars?
All right. I was waiting for you to pull that out because I saw the video of that yesterday, and it was...
kind of amazing, honestly. It was surprisingly bad, but also amazing. Like, it made me want to play that level of that game because it's just so absurd.
Why is there dancing?
Well, it seems to be like six mini games, each involve using some connectiness, right? So yeah. There's a pod race, I think, or there's some sort of race, and then there's like some fighting and stuff. So I guess this is the there's a bunch of dancing connect games. We will use the dancing functionality and remake songs into Star Wars songs. And remake just dance moves in Star Wars moves, like the Trash Compactor or like the Hug a Wookiee or something. It's delightfully insane.
But why, I reiterate, why the dance?
I don't know.
I understand a Hug the Wookiee or like a Let the Wookiee
maybe the Lobot just wanted a DJ, I don't know. And somehow Slave Leia got there. I really have no idea.
Okay.
It just seems so insane that I sort of want to play that bit.
That's fair. That's totally fair. It'll probably drop in price really quickly.
I imagine so.
What I've seen talk about it or just saying, like, it's not even worth wiping your ass with. That game is terrible. Anyways, as I said before, I'm trying really hard not to get off topic. And already, I feel like I'm off topic.
Han Solo's kind of a superhero, kind of.
Not really.
Luke Skywalker definitely is. He has superpowers, and he's a hero. And he has superpowers.
He has superpowers.
He has at least telekinesis.
All right, I'll give it to you. Especially because I'm waiting for you to pull out the inevitable he was in comics, because he was. So.
Yeah, but they're not good.
No, they're not good. But there's lots of Star Wars comics. And,
I'm sure there's some good ones.
That at least gives us a good transition to what we're supposed to be talking about, which is, what is the best medium for superheroes? Because everyone I've talked to, I haven't played Arkham City yet, and I feel terrible about that, but I have my reasons. You played Arkham Asylum, I played Arkham Asylum, you played Infamous, I played Prototype, What's that?
I've played both Infamouses now. I have not played Prototype. I've played Ultimate Spider-Man.
I've played a couple Spider-Man games, yeah. Shattered Dimensions I played recently, and that was horrible, but...
Yeah, there's a lot of horrible superhero video games.
Yeah, well, there are. When a good... I feel like when a good superhero game happens, I don't know if it's because there's so many bad ones that it's just like, oh, superhero games are terrible, and then when, like, an Arkham Asylum comes out, you're just like, holy shit, this is amazing. But the way you were talking about Infamous, even whether or not you want to debate whether I think Prototype is fair to call it a superhero game. Spider-Man 2. I'm trying to think of some other good superhero games. I mean, really, even like any of the arcade side-scrolling, like X-Men, beat-em-up.
Yeah, those are fun.
But are they better than any other medium? I don't think so. I don't think that superhero... I don't think video games are really the medium for superheroes. I don't know.
So I feel it depends on the kind of superhero. Like, if it's a Batman or a Spider-Man where it's sort of street-level, there's nothing like... no crazy cosmic special effects going on, it could be more fun as a video game than anything else, because that you can experience more realistically in a way, and you can sort of put yourself in their mind a little better than if you're Superman flying around and fighting giant... That just feels like a giant boss battle. It doesn't feel
or
like...
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, it's not as immersive as if you're playing as Batman or Spider-Man, I'd feel. And those I'd rather see in something else. Like, I'm debating maybe Batman, Spider-Man type stuff as video game is the best, but other ones like Green Lantern or...
Green Lantern would be terrible, yeah.
It could sort of be, if you did it as like a joke, it could be like, what's the ones where you write something out and something appears, like on the DS? Like Scribblenauts or...
Yeah.
That could sort of be a fun, goofy Green Lantern.
Yeah, it could. It would take a really long time for them to figure out how to make that work. Whereas like Batman, they did it. It's done. Yeah. Like, if you want to know how to make a Batman game... Arkham Asylum.
It was one of my favorite Batman stories I've experienced, either on TV or movies or in comics.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It nailed all of the best Bat tropes.
Yep.
If we both agree that video games aren't where superheroes should be, or superheroes can be in video games, but probably not the best place for them to be, I'm going to guess we're going to go to comic books next. It's probably... Where superheroes should be.
Which is the soft spot in my heart for them, and where I wish would be the best place for them. And there's definitely an argument to be made that it is, because you can do whatever you want to do on the cheap compared to anything else. You can't do a super crazy video game for the price it costs to do the same kind of crazy stuff in a comic, same with cartoons or movies or whatever. It's so much cheaper to do, so you can have... the infinite budget, they say. You can do whatever crazy, ridiculous cosmic stuff you want.
Yeah.
But there's also drawbacks. Like, we've seen a batch of cartoons come out from DC especially that, while the stories aren't always as good as some of the stories in the comics, like, they don't necessarily reach the high point of writing or just story, because they have to be adapted for kids primarily and stuff like that. And they have to be compressed into 90 minutes. And yeah, there's all sorts of reasons they have to change it. But you get to see these things happen in motion and with sound, real sound effects, and you get to hear their voices and stuff. And but so cartoons are also awesome, but I'm torn with, I'm back to comics because that's where they come from. It's their root. It's where where cartoons came from. They weren't really superheroes at all before comic books. But it's a tough question for me.
I see what you're going with the money issue, that maybe it's not, that maybe money isn't the best, because if you want to make a really low budget superhero story, you would go to write a novel about superheroes.
Yeah.
And generally novels about superheroes suck.
Yes.
So, because to me, superheroes are dynamic. They need a visual aspect to go along with them. That's
Agreed.
Just me.
Agreed.
Other people might argue with that, but I go with that.
I think I've read one superhero novel. It was the novelization of The Death of Superman, if I remember right.
Yeah.
But I think I feel like a ton of people had that book, because I remember seeing it on a bunch of my friends' bookshelves. But yeah, that it might have been, it wasn't so bad because I'd already read the comics, so I sort of had the visuals already.
Yeah.
And obviously you can read a novel and get the, like, imagine visuals like you do whenever you're reading a novel, but it's so much drier. And it shouldn't be, superheroes should not be dry.
No. There should be I understand where people go with the whole Alan Moore side of it, which is that superheroes should be sort of brooding and possibly, or maybe beyond brooding, but realistic.
Yeah.
And I don't know about that. I kind of like a certain level of goofiness to my superheroes, because I think that there's something inherently goofy about being a superhero.
Well, it's sort of, it's the Grant Morrison, it's the Grant Morrison versus Alan Moore thing.
Maybe it's not so much, I should say, goofiness, but a sense of wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's certainly something that Grant Morrison somewhere is applauding, that like there has to be some sort of sense of wonder in superheroes. But that's what I feel that's right, because I think that in the same, when I read a superhero comic or any sort of superhero story, I want to feel the sense of, I want to feel like that pedestrian that looks up and they're like, hey, it's a flying man. Holy shit. Like, that's something, that's what I want out of that. Part of why I read Fantastic Four now with Hickman is because I like the way that Hickman writes and I like the way that he presents the Fantastic Four, because when I read Fantastic Four, I want to read a book about a family, but I'm reading a family about a super family of superheroes, and I want it to be, you know, like I said, a sense of wonder, of where people are constantly coming up with new ideas and doing magical, wonderful, fantastic things.
Not
in the sense of like magical of, you know, sort of magic, but in the sense of sort of
wondrous things.
You get what I mean? Yeah, wondrous things. Yeah, and then certainly that's something that Fantastic Four. It's always I've been a big Fantastic Four fan all of my life for that reason. And I feel like that's the one thing that a lot of writers can't get when they do Fantastic Four, is they just kind of like, oh yeah, well, you know, Reed's punching people. Like, no, Reed really shouldn't be punching people. That's not what Reed does. If Reed is punching people, like, that's where...
That's when they're in really deep shit.
Yeah. Or
he's running inventions, he's locked in some box, he's like with one guy, and he only has to. It's his last resort.
Yes. Or it's an emotional moment of where you see even somebody who's hyper-rational like Reed just breaks down and just starts beating the shit out of somebody. And that has something to it, too. It really makes it feel real and makes it feel like, wow, like that's – holy shit, that's what Reed is doing.
Mm-hmm.
What about movies, though?
Live-action movies, you're saying?
I'm saying live-action movies, yeah, because I kind of feel like it's only been until recently that they've gotten superhero movies right, and even that, I kind of feel like they've really... I mean, because for every... If you really think about it, for every Iron Man, there's a fucking Green Lantern.
Or two.
So, and it's generally because a lot of writers don't know how to write superhero movies, and I know that's definitely the problem. 90% of the problem with Green Lantern was the script.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. So I have no real judgment on it. But
that's
it's
it sucked. Yeah. There's nothing you really need to say about
it. Well, even the Fantastic Four movies were terrible. And they had Michael Chiklis as The Thing, which was awesome. And Chris Evans as Human Torch, which was good. But the writing was not good. The effects were not very good.
I don't think the effects really mattered that much. I've heard that argument before, that the effects were bad or that the people didn't like the way the thing looked or whatever it was, but I think it was just that the story just sucked. That's what it was.
That's
it was just
definitely the main thing. You have a, like, it's like Doctor Who. If you have a good story, you can overlook the crappy effects. If you have a shitty story, you won't.
Yeah, well, the thing about Doctor Who is that they can just do whatever the hell they want because generally they've got you at the beginning of the episode. Is that they're very Doctor Who really doesn't need to make any fans, whereas a Fantastic Four movie really needs to make its fans immediately, because I don't think a lot of people are that interested in going to see a Fantastic Four movie because it's not a Spider-Man, it's not a Superman or a Batman. Yeah. People don't really know Fantastic Four as well. It's sort of like, yeah, those are the
They're aware of them. They've seen The Incredibles.
Yeah, well, I think that's another reason why that movie kind of fell flat on its face, is that The Incredibles did a better job.
Yep.
And before Fantastic Four, so, yeah.
Which was animated instead of live action.
So, what you're saying is that animated movies or animated television is the place for superheroes to be.
I would... begrudgingly, I think, by inches over comic books. But yeah, just because it's more of like, superheroes are generally a high action, high octane thing. It's not, which comics can do very well, but animation can do even better. Like, I wouldn't say that animation is the best for all kinds of comic books, but for superheroes, I can definitely see that.
I guess it depends, I don't know, because I'm starting to think about, say, Incognito or Sleeper. Both are about superheroes, or at least supervillains.
Yeah.
Do you think that those books would work as well in animated features, or animated in an animated series, or...
No, but that's the sometimes the subject matter affects that, too. Like, it's... I'm thinking of superheroes in the classical sort of whiz-bang kind of way. And yeah, there's that sort of post-more look at whether everything's grim and gritty and blah, 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 in which case, no, cartoons are probably not the best bet. I'm sure they could be a great Sleeper cartoon, but since it's for adults only, no one's going to watch it.
Well, but there are a lot of good adult-oriented, or at least teen-oriented. I mean, Sleeper, yeah, I guess Sleeper, because I guess by definition it's adult because it has nudity in it, but I mean... otherwise, there's really, like, I would say Sleeper's even more towards, like, a teen or, like, younger...
Well, yeah, ultimately that's who they shoot, because that's who likes tits and gritty action, but, well, that always cracks me, sorry, aside, it always cracks me when they said, oh, mature comics, because it's got tits and action. Like, that's what the 14-year-olds really want to read, so it's for 14-year-olds.
Yeah, but I wanna read it, too, so...
I do, but it's clearly... to be honest with themselves, geared towards their inner teenager, not like a real mature, thoughtful adult, you know what I mean?
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I see where you're going with that.
But that's an aside.
What about Parker, the Parker books?
He's not a superhero.
That's okay.
He's just a criminal. He's just a random criminal.
I'm more trying to move you in the direction of, I want to, because we actually have like a test for this. And the test is,
uh-oh,
did you like, because I'm trying to work you towards like the Darwin Cook angle, did you like New Frontier better as a comic or as a movie? Because I think that's the test.
Because it's Darwin. Darwin is so much better than most other people making superhero comics. For New Frontier, I gotta go with the comic.
I would agree with you there, but I...
But I really enjoyed the New Frontier cartoon, don't get me wrong. It was a ton of fun. But they had to lose some stuff, which for pacing and whatever issues, isn't an issue in the comic book. Like, you had more of the losers starting off and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But,
I think that what it comes down to
painful.
Is... What's that?
Painful choice.
And that's why I posed it, because I think that I can be a hypocrite there, which is that for me... I would choose comics for that story. But for everybody else in the world, with the exception of maybe you... I would choose an animated feature, because I feel like animated features are way more accessible.
Yeah, for sure.
To everybody else. And I know that I'm not trying to take the angle of like, oh, people don't read, therefore there should, you know, should be read to you. But just, I think that they did a really good job with that movie. I think it was really good. And I think that they did a serviceable job. Like you said, they had pacing issues where if they would have just do exactly what was on the page, that would have been a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
And nobody would want to watch that.
It would cost a fortune.
Yeah, it would cost a fortune. That's why ultimately I think the real answer or real sort of direction we should be moving in is animated television. Because if you do a weekly show, half an hour show, you know, 22 episodes for a season or whatever it is, you can do amazing things.
My favorite Justice League has never been in a comic book. It's the freaking Justice League Unlimited. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
No question.
I think it speaks volumes when you talk to people about comic books and you say, hey, how did you really get into comic books? And I feel like a lot of them tend to say through cartoons.
There's definitely a wave that came in with the old X-Men cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, there's a noticeable wave of then, and there's probably one right around when the Justice League stuff came out, I imagine. But I don't have actual data on any of these things. I just, from people I know who've come in more recently than me, they're like, oh, I started watching the X-Men cartoon, and so it made me want to read comics. I was like, oh, that's very cool.
Well, I, at the very least, I would say that the X-Men
cartoon,
was
terrible.
My love.
That cartoon was terrible. Yeah. I just had to rewatch that on paper keg, and it was not good.
Yeah, it was, especially later on, they were really, really bad, yeah. I remember one about, there was an episode with Captain America and Wolverine that was just awful. Terrible.
That was way later on.
Horrible. But that was the 90s.
I know. There was lots of bad comics in the 90s, too.
Well, because, for every Batman, you know, animated series, there's a X-Men cartoon that isn't so good, you know, or there's, you know, the Spider-Man cartoon that was pretty good. It was pretty all right. And then they sort of turned it into the Spider-Man, he saves Jonah's son, John Jameson. And he gets stuck in a rocket and gets shot off to another planet. And it was like Spider-Man Unlimited or something. Spin-off cartoon. And that was terrible. And they it's not perfect. I mean, I've seen all of the Batman animated series, but I haven't seen The Batman, the one that came after it.
Okay.
And I know that some people liked it, some people didn't. Batman Beyond was fantastic.
Yep.
Batman Beyond was definitely one of the higher, like, one of the better things. And then, of course, Teen Titans, where if you talk about, like, a cartoon that brought in a lot of readers and said, hey, you know, people are like, oh, the show is over, I want to go continue this story, and then they get to the comics, and they're just like, this is nothing like that. This is terrible. I've heard a lot of people complain that I watch Teen Titans on TV, and then there's nothing for me when I get to the comics, and I just quit, or I just find something else that isn't DC related.
Yeah, well, you have to go back to, like, the old Jeff Johns or whatever.
Well, yeah, but that's not.
But it's not current at all.
People do. No, nobody walks into a comic book shop and they're like, "Hey, I want to, you know, give me what came out, you know,
exactly.
3 or 4 years ago. I want to read what's out now, and I want what's out now to be similar to what's going on there and say, like, hey, if you like the Avengers movie, read this.
Yeah, they already have some stuff coming up in preamble for that.
Yeah, I know that I look like the bad guy, so I'm just going to keep being the bad guy. So, I don't know. I'm
a nice fucking passive Canadian.
You are the one who goes to the comic book shop every week and comes home with something.
Not anymore.
Really?
All digital.
Okay, well,
I go to my iPad and get the comics for the week.
Whatever. You're the one that's buying comics every week. Yeah. I'm the guy who's either waiting for the trades or just outright just saying, fuck it, I don't even care anymore, because to keep up with the fucking shit that comes out.
Yeah.
That's why I'd rather watch a fucking animated show. I'd rather watch the animated movie that comes out every once in a while and enjoy that instead of having to worry about the comics, because for most comics, I don't care.
And that definitely seems to be where things are going. There's a new DC block of cartoons. There's the new Marvel block of cartoons. It's what the kids like, dude.
I think the kids are right.
I can't really argue it. The Avengers one's pretty good. The Young Justice, I hear lots of people like. I never really grabbed me. I'm not re-watching the Ultimate Spider-Man one. And I don't know what else there is. I think there's a Green Lantern now. CGI one, which I haven't watched. But I'm watching the Avengers one because that one, out of all of them, is the only one I really like. So, but if I don't really like the cartoon, I'm not going to watch it. Or I'll watch it later on. Like Adventure Time or, this is not superheroes, but for like Adventure Time or a regular show, I let a season pile up and then I watch them. Because I just, I don't have the interest to just download every week and keep up with it. So I would just wait for like the trade of cartoons, essentially. Whereas Avengers and like the old Justice League cartoon, Justice League I watched every week on TV. I sat down and turned it on.
Yeah,
like I was appointment television. The ones now are less so. So it's not like every cartoon is going to work. But I don't know. It might just be I'm getting older, and I'm like, I'm getting older.
I don't think you're getting older. I think it's that you're. I hate to go back to this excuse from last week, but I think it's because you're watching Community. Or because you're watching other...
That's possible.
Basically, if you want to talk about storytelling to me, I'm going to say, hey, you know, look at Stan Lee or look at Jack Kirby. You know, those two guys can tell a hell of a story. But the more and more I get exposed to A, learning how to tell a story, and B, seeing great stories or seeing stories told really, really well, mm-hmm. the more I realize that I don't really idolize Jack Kirby. Well, I do idolize Jack Kirby, but I don't idolize Stan Lee anymore. Yeah. And I start to realize that there's sort of, I don't want to say this, but there is a feeling inside of me that says, if you can't write for any other medium, go to write for comic books. And I know that's a really mean thing to say, and I know that that's not a very true, it's not, I don't actually believe that, but
once upon a time, that was definitely true. It was the case, and that's where the superheroes came from in the first place, was generally shitty writers being paid to write something that sells books to kids. That's all it was. It wasn't like they were generally great writers.
Yes.
And they had great ideas, and Stanley had some fantastic ideas, but as far as dialogue goes, as far as... And again, it's also a function of the time, but... Those did not age well.
No, they did not age they
well
didn't. At all.
Well,
no.
Kirby did, but Stan Lee's dialogue did not age well.
No, it didn't. But I know where he was coming from. I know that he was writing for a younger audience. I know that he was writing for a different time, and I don't hold that against him. But I've been dabbling every once in a while. I'll pick up a comic book every once in a while, and for me, it is rare to find something where I go, "This guy could really do well in any other medium if he wanted to." Jason Aaron, I believe, could do really well in any other medium. Hickman, Brubaker. Those are guys that if especially Brubaker, if Hollywood was still making crime movies in the way that they used to, Brubaker would be...
Brubaker made a movie.
Bajillionaire. He did, and it sucked. I know, but...
Okay, I didn't see it, so I wasn't sure. I thought you might have seen it.
I did. I love Brubaker, and I wanted to see his movie, and I didn't really like it. But I'm not going to blame it on him. I'm not going to... I think that it was sort of one of those things where... it was a web series, or it was a...
Right, with the stunt woman?
Zoe Bell.
Actress? Yeah.
And Zoe Bell's pretty good. She's kind of a stunt woman. She's not really a great actress. I feel like I'm being really negative this episode, but those are all true things. I'm pretty sure the budget was like $6.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I think it was almost entirely like primarily self-produced or something. Like he was like, "This is my movie. I'm making."
Yeah,
he's not a super rich man. I'm sure he's doing okay, but I don't think he's a rich man.
Well, it's extremely hard to jump mediums.
Yeah,
it's really hard to suddenly say, "Hey, I want to direct a movie. I want to write and direct a movie." After
so
many years,
you do see that coming from the other direction of people that write TV or write movies or books that come to write comics and don't do a good job with it.
Kevin Smith, fantastic example of that. I hate Kevin Smith's comics, but I love his other stuff. Yeah. Jumping from one medium to another, you're going to lose something. You're going to not really know something. I think the guys that are – a guy like Hickman is sort of a – I wouldn't say he's a master of the medium of comics, but Hickman definitely knows what he's doing when it comes to comics. To stay on somebody that I've been saying a lot of good things about, he knows what he's doing most of the time.
He's definitely a guy that writes for comic books. Like, his stuff is not a thinly veiled movie pitch. It's not something he thought of as an idea that he's turning into a comic, but it's written for comic books.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess, however this ended up, I'm not too sure. It's going to be really, like, chop-socky, like, quick cuts episode, possibly, to kind of get the point home. I don't know. Maybe
just turns to 5 minutes. Serialized cartoons won. Yay! You've been listening to Internet Boyfriends.
Anyways, thank you for listening to Internet Boyfriends. I am Joey, at Joey Heflick, on Twitter. And with me is...
Ryan, at Gobo on Twitter.
And thank you for listening. Until next week, we are Internet Boyfriends.
I'm sorry about this one.
That's okay.
We went all over the place. Hang on, let me just stop the recording.